Open them up to Romans. We're going to look at a couple of chapters there. Yep.
Romans. At least 12.
Do what? It is a nice picture. Romans. Mostly we're going to be in chapter 14, but we're going to go back and forth at a couple of different places there. So you can turn there. I want to start by reading something I got offline, and I want to ask your opinion about it. Thought it was pretty interesting. Some of it is written by a Southern Baptist writer. Another one's written by one of the Southern Baptists that we elect, I guess, or appoint every year to be in Washington to take care of both our desires along with things that's happening with politics. And you'll see some of the things there that's coming out, but I just want to listen. It says, as more photos emerge of Daylon Roof, the confessed killer, and the Charleston church massacre holding a Confederate flag, calls are increasing to remove the symbol from public property. Some of the urgings are coming from the community that has often defended the flag, white Southern conservative Christian leaders. It is at a level of intensity that is new, said Barnabas Piper, a Southern Baptist author who writes about the intersection of Christianity and culture. This is not something you see tweeted about on a regular basis, but after the attack in Charleston and the prominence that the flag took, it feels as if we're being rubbed our faces in it. All right, let me find the next spot there. Piper, who is white, said he had never before seen white Southern conservative Christians seriously discuss the role of that flag, which is, depending on one's point of view, recalls either rebellion, Southern pride, or slavery. Now, it does a lot of other things in other people's lives as well. It plays in perpetuating racist values like the one shared by Roof. The Confederate flag represents the Confederate States of America, the group of Southern slaveholding states that seceded from the Union in 1861 before dissolving at that end of the Civil War 4 years later. It was the subject of controversial debate in 2000 that ended with its removal from the top of the South Carolina State House dome. But it is still flown today at the nearby Confederate War Memorial on that state property. But besides from its symbolism as a sign of Southern resistance, the flag also has its share of Christian sympathizers, particularly in the South, in part because its design incorporates St. Andrew's cross. Some Christians believe the symbol represents the diagonal cross on which Andrew, one of Jesus' disciples, was crucified. Russell Moore, the president of Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, is one of the most influential leaders in the conservative evangelicalism. He oversees the public policy agenda of the convention, the nation's largest Protestant denomination, which split from a group of Southern Baptists in 1845 over the issue of slavery. By the way, that's how we got started as Southern Baptists. Missionaries wanted to take their slaves on the mission field. The group that we were aligned with said, uh-uh. So we broke off and started our own convention. That's where the Southern Baptist Convention came from. By the way, that's why we apologized to the African Americans about 15 or 20 years ago in our convention, because of that. Let's see, Moore's blog on Friday called The Cross and the Confederate Flag went viral when he wrote about the need for Christians with Southern conservative sympathies to let go of their allegiance to the flag. One of the issues hurting many in the Confederate battle flag flying at full mast from the South Carolina Capitol grounds, even in the aftermath of the racist act of violence on innocent people, wrote Moore. This raises the question of what we as Christians ought to think about the Confederate flag, given the fact that many of us are from the South. Moore, a white descendant of Confederate veterans, wrote about his being deeply conflicted about seeing the Confederate flag incorporated in the flag of his home state of Mississippi. The cross and the Confederate flag cannot coexist. Less let's care not just about our own history, but also about our shared history with them. Mike Cosper, a pastor of Sojourn Community Church, Southern Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky, told CNN that wrestling with the flag's racial history is necessary to the improving race relations in the United States. It's a symbol that is just so powerful and so visceral because of where it comes from and what it means, said Cosper, who is white. I feel compelled to love my brothers and sisters, to sympathize with them when they say what this is what it means and this is what it communicates, the thing that needs to come down. But Doug Wilson, an influential author and professor at St. Andrew's College in Moscow, Idaho, wrote Saturday that he would not jump to remove the Confederate flag, saying that the associated with a flag with only slavery is incomplete. The Confederate flag could mean that you're at a KKK rally, or it could be that you're at a NASCAR rally, or it could be that you're at a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert, or that you're looking at some artist's rendition of something in the past. It is not enough to debate the political aspects of such shootings at one time. It is also necessary to debate the right thing at the right time, he added. Otherwise, the clouds of grief just cover for the emptiness of gestures. I thought it was interesting as he went on to talk about the Republican presidential candidates. Rick Santorum and Mike Huckabee. Rick said, well, I can't comment because I don't know about all the complexities on the South Carolina debate. Thought that was funny. Mike Huckabee just hasn't said anything at all. Interesting. Well, guys, after reading that, I want to ask you a question. What should Christians feel and do about what's going on? That's not a rhetorical question. I really want some answers. All right, we shouldn't judge. What are we not judging?
How people feel about the flag.
Okay. Anybody else? Yes.
We know something offends
somebody,
then we shouldn't do it.
Okay.
So if we know that someone, then we should not
fly it. Okay. Anybody else?
What about the flag representing all of the lives that were lost?
Okay. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Just to declare that a Christian has love for all their fellow man and freedom for all as part of righteousness is a unity of freedom for all.
Okay.
And that whatever flag means, that's what's in our heart anyway.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
We are 52 nations and a black state. Of why should we have something else that belongs to the past? We should have, just like they say, an museum, a special place, but not a state union or whatever they want. That's right.
Yes, sir.
I'm not a conservative with my stretch imagination, but I would think a conservative stands for less government. At least that's someone said. So you certainly don't want the government promoting any flag except the American flag.
Okay.
When it comes to free will and personal choice, that's up to you. You want to wear his underwear and shirt, have on your house, I think that's your right. But as a Christian, I agree with Billy. It's not all right to judge a person for what kind of clothes they wear or what kind of flag they fly. My government shouldn't be paying for it.
Okay. I want you to know the message is fixing to come is not to the world, it's to the Christian.
Amen.
I can't tell you what the world is supposed to do or not do because they don't know the Lord, but I can tell you what the Bible says us as Christians have a responsibility to do. And it does talk about that. We're going to look at some of those things. If you will turn in your Bible, if you hadn't already done that, to Romans chapter 14. I'm going to look at a couple of verses before that, but we're going to concentrate mostly in chapter 14. And you'll notice if you have a Bible, it's about Christian liberties. Christian liberties. All things are lawful for us as believers, but not all things are expedient. In other words, even though I have a right to do it in Christ, doesn't mean I should do it if it may offend someone else. Because the Bible talks about things that are not necessarily talked about in it specifically, like, is this a sin or is it not a sin? Is this wrong or is this right? The Bible talks about things like that, like, what day should you meet on to worship? Miss Debbie has a really good friend that meets on the Sabbath and would think we're not quite right because we don't meet on the Sabbath. And yet most Christians today in Christendom meets on the Lord's Day. It was called the Lord's Day because they started celebrating their worship on the day Jesus arose from the grave, which was Sunday. Is one day better than the other? Should we all go to the Sabbath day and worship the Lord, or should we all go to the Sunday? Well, the Bible talks about that because there were those who, when they first got saved, they came from a Jewish background, and they were used to worshiping on the Sabbath, and all of a sudden the church was worshiping on Sunday. I bet they got in some arguments over that, don't you imagine? Oh, we're supposed to be on the Sabbath. No, we're on the Lord's Day. No, the Sabbath. How about eating? You have a lot of different views when it comes to eating different things because you had the Jews that got saved. They never ate anything offered to an idol. No meats whatsoever offered to an idol would they ever touch because to them they'd be unclean. But you also have Gentile believers who came out of idol worship who actually believed those idols were real once upon a time. And so they believed that the meat offered to the idols was an offering to that God. And all of a sudden, they see somebody else eating meat offered to an idol, and what are they going to think? Oh, you're ungodly. Paul said, I know that there's no such thing as idols. There's no other gods but one God, and that's the living God. So eating meat offered to an idol wouldn't bother me a little bit. I have an idea after Paul got saved, he might have ate a pork chop or a rib. And I'm not talking about a short rib. I'm talking about a barbecued pork rib. Well, I want you to start and look just for a minute in verse 17 of chapter 14. He makes a statement. For the kingdom of God, that is verse 17 of chapter 14, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit of God. Now, that's what is to be made up of the kingdom of God. Who makes up the kingdom of God, by the way? Every believer. Now, there is going to be a physical kingdom of God that comes later, a thousand-year reign the Bible talks about that was promised to Israel, and we'll be there to rule and reign with the Lord. But there is also the spiritual kingdom of God, which is now when a person comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, he becomes the king of their life. We actually talked about this in youth camp. Remember the pastor talked about who's sitting on the throne? You or God? I don't know about you, but we take turns. Sometimes I allow God to be there, but sometimes I want to take that thing back. I know you probably don't have that struggle, but I do. All right? Well, when you come to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, He is to be the King of your life. So we talk about the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be following Him and obeying His Word. And He said that kingdom is made up of this. He didn't say it was made up of disputes. It's not made up of fighting or bickering. But it's made up of what? That which is right and good, peace, and joy in the Spirit. That's pretty good. So there shouldn't be much fighting or bickering. Obviously, Paul has never went to a business meeting. well, I don't know if you've ever had those business meetings that was almost a knockdown, drag out, but I've been there, and it wasn't fun. I actually thought I'd come to the wrong church when I, not here, by the way. You're good here. This is another church, but I thought we had done the wrong. We had joined the church, but we are called to the church, but we hadn't joined yet. We just went on that Wednesday night, and they were fighting over candy, giving candy to the kids, and them being in the sanctuary. I thought it was going to be a knockdown drag out before we got there. Whew. Undoubtedly, they didn't read this verse, okay? Wasn't a part of what they were doing. I want you to look over, if you will, the end of chapter 12, the last verse. I just thought it was interesting when I come across this verse. Do not be overcome by evil, all right? I understand that. But it says, but overcome evil with a right hook and a left uppercut. Really? Do what? If you're good at it. No, it actually said overcome evil by doing good. That's the way we're supposed to be motivated. That's how we're supposed to operate. All right, let's go back and read verse chapter 14 and see what it's all about. What's going on? Beginning in verse 1, it says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but do not dispute over doubtful things. I don't know if you caught all that, but let's go back and see what that's talking about. First of all, he wants us to know that not everybody spiritually is in the same spot. You're going to have some really strong Christians here. You're going to have some mediocre Christians here. You're going to have some very weak, maybe new Christians here. We're going to have it from all over the gamut. So we don't always think alike, because usually the more mature you are, you think a little bit different than when you first got saved and you're not mature yet. Still have a lot of the world there, and you're thinking in those terms, so we think differently. And he said, make sure you receive the weak in the faith. But he says, be careful about discussing. Is that a term you'd use? Arguing, disputing over questionable things. Now, what he's saying is there's going to be some things that come up where the Bible doesn't say right, black and white, this is a sin. What was that, brother? Calvinism? That's kind of an inside joke there. There's some gray areas. Some look at it this way, some look at it that way. The Bible doesn't specifically come up and say that this is right or wrong, but after you walk with the Lord for a while, there's a principle there. All right, so that's kind of what we're talking about. Let's go on. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. I prefer the eating part. I don't know about you. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above the other. Another esteems every day alike, but each one be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and give thanks to God. For none of us live to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Nor to the end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the living and dead. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt to your brother? For we also stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. That's pretty serious, guys. Now somebody will say, Brother Terry, I got saved, my sins are forgiven, I don't have to ever worry about that again, right? Well, you don't ever have to worry about going to heaven. No, if you trusted Christ, that's taken care of. Well, how about my sins? Are they all paid for? Yes, if you trust Jesus Christ, they're all paid for. However, our God being a responsible God is going to ask you why. Why did you do what you did? Or why didn't you do what you should be doing? We're going to have to give an account one day to God about the way that we lived our life after becoming a believer. Everyone will stand before the Lord. And Raymond's not going to be able to stand for me. I'm not going to be able to stand for Curtis. We all going to have to stand up ourselves and give an account of ourselves before the Lord. Can't stand up for your kids. Kids are going to have to stand up for themselves before the Lord. So we all have to give an account. Verse 13, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in your brother's way. I know and I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Jesus died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not food or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may be built up. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for a man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or made weak. All right. So what does all that mean? Now, by the way, just if this wasn't enough, let me tell you what he does do in chapter 13 before he gets here. He talks about our responsibility to one another. He said, owe no man anything but to love him. And then he goes on to talk about the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. Now, by the way, that's half the commandments. Half the commandments are focused on our relationship with others. Now, the Bible's actually divided up in two groups. What we do for God, what we do for others. Whatever happened to self?
Sacrifice. Self sacrifice to God.
Well, that ain't fair, is it? I mean, you got God, you got others. Where do I come in all this? You see, that's the sin problem.
Self.
We always want what we want. We always want our perspective, our point of view, our history, our likes and our dislikes to be on top. Doesn't matter what anybody else feels. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I believe it this way. Well, God says, listen, there's two ways. How you love me, and how you love others. Self is putting the other people in front of you. He says, by doing that, you fulfill the law. God's standard. Can't do that on your own? No. You and I have that struggle with self all the time. I guarantee you, I struggle with Terry. Now, Satan's there. And his henchmen are there, yes, but my biggest struggle is not with him. My biggest struggle is with me.
Amen.
I like what I like. I buy into commercials. Have it your way. I would go to Burger King if they weren't so daggum slow. I guess so, brother. They do it all in the back because it takes them that long. Guys, what is all this telling us as believers? What should you and I think about the flag? It doesn't matter if you see it as history. It doesn't matter if you see it as your heritage. It doesn't matter if you see it as slavery. What does matter is, how does other people see it? Does my African-American brother in Christ see it as slavery? Many of them do. It offends them to see the flag because it reminds them of what took place in America and what is still taking place in America. I had a chance to have breakfast with an African-American pastor. He was part of the group that we're in, and we got through. I got a chance to talk to him, and I asked him, I said, when you see the Confederate flag, does it offend you? He said, it's not the flag. It's the person behind it. It's the hatred and the prejudice that is still out there today that hasn't changed in a lot of people's lives. Oh, we dress it up. I guarantee you, if you went around churches today and asked Southern white Christians, are you prejudiced, that 9 out of 10 of them would say no.
So the flag makes me prejudiced?
Nope. He said it's the one behind the flag.
Yep. If I'm behind the flag, if I'm holding the flag, then
are you prejudiced, brother?
I feel not.
No. I am. I'll tell you. I was raised that way. I've had to face that in my Christian beliefs and along the line. I got to be honest with you. I get offended at the flag, the Confederate flag, because I know what it stands for and I know what it stands for me. Now, it may stand something different for you, but I know how it stands for me. And to me, it's an offense. And if it's an offense in my eyes, then how should you treat it? You should love me more than the Confederate flag. Now, guys, I got to tell you, I got a dog in this fight. I'm Southern through and through. My family came over from England into Virginia, from Virginia into North Carolina, from North Carolina into Georgia. After the Civil War, there was nothing left, so we came to Florida. So my family, and one of the reasons they came to Florida was probably because of the Civil War. Up in Georgia, where my great-great-great-grandfather is buried right behind him, two of my relatives are buried behind him with Confederate flag-type things right there. So I have relatives that fought in that war. So I do have a dog in the fight. But guys, I'm going to tell you, that war is over with. I don't want to forget the guys and the gals that sacrificed their life. But I don't have to have a flag to show me what that is. We know the sacrifice. Now, I'm not saying this for everybody. I'm telling you what Christians ought to respond to. I can't tell you what the world responds to. They don't know the Lord. They're not saved. And so they're going to respond to the flag as they see the flag, whether it's rebellion or whether it's history or whether it's heritage or whether it's slavery. But I can tell you as a believer, my responsibility is not to the flag. It is not even to the South. My responsibility is that my brother and sister in Christ not be offended. That's my responsibility. As part of the kingdom of God, I am to love. Part of the kingdom of God is supposed to be peace. Doing what's right and good. Not having my own way. Not doing what I want to do. But do what Jesus wants me to do. Am I going to shoot him? No.
But are you going to love him and give him his opinion? Or are you going to be, because you're offended?
Will you tell me?
That's what I'm asking.
What does the word just say?
I mean, I have relatives.
What does the word just say? I don't care about your relatives. What does the word say? I'm not going to defend him, no. Am I going to love him? Yes. But I also love the world that doesn't even know Christ.
But there again, if on one side and brothers on the other, I can love him, but I'm not going to defend him.
That's right.
So we haven't really,
we haven't really what?
Where do you go?
What do you mean, where do you go? What does he say do?
He says don't offend.
All right, then that's your job not to offend. What would you do with it? I'm not talking, guys, listen to me. I'm not talking about in the world. I'm talking about believers.
I'm a person that was raised in the South. I had I was raised not to be prejudiced. But I'm here in person to tell you that being raised and understanding and then living it is two different things.
Amen.
Amen.
Because I'm here to tell you that I didn't think I had a prejudiced bone in my body. Because my folks told me that I was to respect people, no matter who they are or what they are. But then I had it brought home to me. My daughter brought her future husband home. He was a black man.
Great guy.
He is a great guy. I had to sit down and come to a realization that no matter whether I was saved and raised, that self, as Brother Terry promoted it a while ago, is something that you have to sit on and fight.
I agree.
Because my son-in-law is one of the greatest people I've ever known.
Amen.
And in the process, I have a granddaughter that thinks that Paul is a pretty special person. But I'm here to tell you that no matter what you say, it is still something that you have to fight in your life, because you are prejudiced. I don't care who you are.
Amen.
It is something that you have got to sit upon and realize that it will affect your every breath unless you take the opportunity to say, God, I am yours, and I will do what you want me to do, because the reason that I'm here upon this earth is to reach others so that they can come to know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, because that is what I'm here for. Jesus died for me. He died for each and every one of us. But if I don't share Christ's principles with others, then I have not done what he's done to put me here for. And I have to give up everything to work for him.
About 3 years ago, thank you, brother. About 3 years ago, we were at camp together. Miss Debbie was a part of that. We were in a coffee shop. Now, you have to understand, the coffee shop's right on the corner of the university that our camp was at. So you know everybody was Christians that was there. It's a Christian college and a Christian camp. And so we're sitting there having coffee and probably bagels. That was a wonderful coffee shop. Loved it. Here comes this wonderful Christian Southern lady. Can't miss the accent. And she began to share with us her prejudice. And I'm sitting there knowing Miss Debbie's sitting right beside him with an African-American son-in-law. Yes, you have a tendency to want to slap a sister in Christ. Okay, just saying. Now, see, guys, he talks about disputed things. What I'm talking about is a principle here that you and I have. Prejudice is out-and-out sin.
Amen.
That's not a disputable thing. He's talking about disputable things. Does that mean we never argue about someone who's doing something just out-and-out breaking God's word? No, we're supposed to. And we will offend somebody every now and then that way.
Amen.
But he's talking about disputable things right now. We all have different feelings. I'm from the South, just like most of y'all. But guys, when you get into God's Word, you know, sometimes you think you're growing and you've really starting to go up the stairs and get there, and then you come across a sermon like this and you look at the Scriptures and you go, I'm actually on step one still. I thought I'd gained something. I got into God's Word and realized, wow, I'm not where I need to be. I still have that battle with self. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
See, the thing is, guys, we don't put ourselves in the African-American community and look back.
Amen.
I'm looking at it from a white Southern person. I'm not looking at it for someone who was raised up through all of that and what they see in that flag. And see, the Bible says I have to look at his side or her side,
Amen.
Not my side. I'm not the important one. They are. And as Raymond said, we're here to reach people. Guys, I want to tell you, I'm supposed to be Jesus in the world.
Amen.
I'm supposed to be Jesus in the world. I can't do it with all my prejudice and all my hatred and all the things that I feel, because my feelings aren't always right and it doesn't line up with God's Word. I have to do what Jesus would do, not what I would do. Because my way to peace would be the... I'm sorry, that's my first reaction. When I know that's not the right reaction. That doesn't bring peace. That doesn't bring people to the place. You know, after you whack them a couple of times, it's going to be hard to witness to them. Because my way to peace would be the... I'm sorry, that's my first reaction. When I know that's not the right reaction. That doesn't bring peace. That doesn't bring people to the place. You know, after you whack them a couple of times, it's going to be hard to witness to them. So guys, I'm talking about a principle for believers. Listen, he said, it doesn't matter if it's this day or that day. It doesn't matter if it's food offered to idols or not. Paul said, I could eat food offered to idols, never bother me. But if it causes my brother to stumble, I won't eat meat. When I said that last night, Raymond said, brother, you're going too far. I thought about wearing a bulletproof vest this morning. Choir said that I ought to have collected all guns before I preached. I said a little basket wouldn't be big enough. But guys, this is something the Lord wanted me to preach on. And let me tell you, it wasn't an easy thing to come and talk about it. But guys, I got to tell you, we're so far from what the Lord wants us to be to reach this world.
Amen.
And the thing is, if you go over to verse 10 of chapter 13, I want us to read this. It says, love does no harm to a neighbor. That's chapter 13, verse 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. But notice verse 11. And do this, knowing that the time, that now is high time to wake out of your sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. I don't know how much longer we got in this world. I'm going to tell you, it's getting bad. I'm not a doomsdayer or any of those kind of things. I shared Wednesday night. I love the world we live in. I guarantee you my grandma wouldn't go back and change anything. Washing machines and dishwashers, and I'm not talking about your teenager. Dryers, stoves that you turn the switch on, it comes on. You didn't have to get up 2 hours early and build a fire in it to get it hot enough. Why we can even take a shower more than once a week. We live in a wonderful way that we live in today, but guys, we also live in a time when sin is growing worse and worse and worse. I don't know how much time we got left. Could be another day, could be another 50 years, I don't know. But the Bible tells me that we need to live every day as if Jesus is coming back, today or tomorrow. Be prepared. Start living the life now. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Start living it now. Start living it now. Guys, the world needs to see a group of people that are not judgmental or hypocritical, but men and women who really care
Amen.
About others. Not the politics, not all the things that are happening out there, and you know, some of the guys that we see running for office don't want to comment on this subject because they don't want to lose a Southern vote. I guarantee if you could nail them off to the corner and ask them what they really believe, they've made up their mind about what they're going to do one way or the other. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about we're running out of time. We've got just a short time to make an impact on the world. Let's start doing it right now. Let's don't wait. Let's get ahead of the rush. When we stand before the Lord and give an account, isn't it going to be great to say, you know, I had this against you, but you listened that day. God changed your heart. So I don't know how I had to ask you a question about this one. I already know. Isn't that great? We all have to stand before the Lord one day and give an account of our lives. Let's start right now. Father, thank you for a time to come together. Lord, I know this wasn't a popular message. I know it wasn't an easy message. And Lord, we all have different emotions about different directions, and we see the flag, the South, in many different directions, many different ways. I'm not trying to debate that or talk about what all that means. Just like I'm not going to debate on which way is the best way, Sabbath or Sunday. The Bible clearly tells us that our job is not to offend our brothers. Father, I pray that you'd work in our lives. I know I still deal with prejudice. I'd like to say I have all of it dealt with and I don't have a problem with it still, but it rears up its head. Father, help us to work on that in all of our lives. And Lord, it might not be a prejudice to an African-American person. It might be to a Spanish person or to a Muslim. It doesn't matter. That's been a part of life in the world since sin entered in. People hate other people just because of who they are. People they don't even know. Lord, help us to get over those hatreds and those prejudices and those things that would hinder us from being the people you want us to be. Lord, maybe there's